Today we're going to wrestle with another aspect of witnessing, and it's supposed to be on the level of witnessing to the powerful, that is, witnessing to people who are in power. And again, trying to wrestle with this to see, keep in mind what this is about and what this tells me about my Heavenly Father. And as I was wrestling with that, I was just having sort of drawing a blank. You have to go up and witness to these folks. How do you get to them? What do you say when you're there? And why is it any different than it is with other people? And so several issues came up. One of them is that one of the passages that they gave us was that God is the one that sets up all governments. Now, how do you deal with that? You know, we can say that when we look at the United States at times, and we can say that when we look at some of the other governments, but when we start looking at some of the ones that are notorious, just horrible, violated all human rights, destroyed people, did everything it could to try to reject whatever God was saying, and, you know, and some of them that come to mind, Hitler would be one of the ones, and we look at some of the other ones. Well, what is your thinking about God establishing Hitler's regime? That all of them are God's minister, that God sets all these up. Did you have to wrestle with that a little bit? Did you? What did you think about that? Anybody, what do you think about when you read those texts in Romans 13 that talks about how they're set up and that they're God's ministers? Yes.
We live in a world of sin.
Okay.
And as such, I mean, we shouldn't be surprised at the sin that happens around us. I mean, you know what I'm saying is that there's a conflict going on here.
Okay.
And the fact that we're amazed that there's a conflict should be...
Yeah, and when you see that conflict, what does that say to you about one like Hitler, Stalin, and we could go on and on?
Well, yeah. To me, he follows the path of his own nature.
Okay. And, yes, Jen?
You know, God is the one who sets things up.
Mm-hmm.
He's an adversary who comes to disrupt everything that God sets
sure.
up. So he, Satan, he comes to interfere with every good thing that the Lord has done.
Okay.
So Satan gets into the mix.
Okay.
And he has a kingdom that he has also set up.
Yes.
So there, you know, just like Sharon said, there's a holy war going on.
Yes.
And there's an evil kingdom just like that God has a kingdom set up.
Yes.
So, I mean, all those kingdoms set up are not of God.
Okay, so you got some wrestling to do with those passages, and I wrestle with them too, trying to understand all this. And we are in a great controversy, and we see that not every ruler on the face of the earth agrees with the principles of God. But we could sit here and wrestle with this and try to come to some conclusion about what, which way do we take this? Did God actually get involved in there? But as I was wrestling with that, I came up with a question as to when Christ was here and he was on the earth, how did he approach people in power?
The very same way he approached the people in poverty.
And what was that?
He healed, he was kind, he was mm-hmm. considerate. Some of them that were not too good people, and he called them by what they were.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. So what do you draw from that?
He tried to teach in the same level of love to them mm-hmm. as he did to the woman taking adultery anywhere else.
Okay. So what do you think that he was trying to get around, to get at? What was he trying to do with those people?
We're trying to tell them that God loves them.
Okay. So he's trying to get around many of these barriers and going after the soul of that human being. Yes.
It's interesting also that he never called off or called names of the people of the in power necessarily. It was the religious leaders that he. They were the ones that they were pretending to be representing him, and they were the ones he called.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one of the questions that came in my mind is, it actually reached very few of them. Well, that's a scary thing. And the thing that got my mind was, what blinded their eyes? What kept them from seeing God standing right before them? The disciples are no exception. And there were some that it dawned on them, wait a minute, there's something so different about this person. Who is he? Well, I want to go back and I want to look at a few things and try to get some things in perspective. And then we'll come back and address that question. When we look at the very beginning, you mentioned about raising the Satan had his kingdom. And when he came, you keep asking the question, why did God not wipe him out? In fact, when he was creating him, out of his very hands, out of his mind, came the devil. It wasn't the devil when he came out. But what was it that he had that was in everyone he created?
Power of choice.
Power of choice? Is that what you're saying also? So you can imagine as God is creating, and I'm illustrating this in a probably a very wrong way, but as God was creating them, he creates one, then he had a choice. Why didn't he just hop over that one? He could have hopped over every third one. Because a third of them went down, plus the devil. Well, what is it that God's trying to do that's applicable today? When God sets up a kingdom, look at his setting up of the kingdom of Israel. What did he say? He wanted to be their God. He wanted to be their friend. They wouldn't accept that. They said, no, we want to be like other nations and have a king that we can touch and we can bow down to and we can see and we can relate. We want that kind of a king, not what we had. And God says, if you want that, go ahead and make a choice. Well, what did they choose? They choose the most powerful looking, the tallest, the most handsome, everything that in their mind would make a good king. And God says, okay. Now, is this starting to give you some insights into why God allows certain people to come up in the kingdom? As rulers, as kings. And once they do, if God would have interfered and said, you're not going to have Saul, you're going to have David, what would have happened? What does God do? You have to understand this principle about your father. That sometimes God will allow things to play out in order that what is in their heart will be revealed. Do you understand? Therefore, God allows some of these to come into power, allows them to work out their principle, and along with that comes all kinds of atrocities. And, you know, this is hearsay. I don't know that I can back this up. Someone told me, somebody of authority, that actually Hitler, is either his children had a nurse that was a Seventh-day Adventist. Who knows what God was trying to do to witness to this person? Who knows what he did to go down the path that he went down? I can't explain those things. All I know is this principle about God, that once an individual makes a statement, God is going to allow it to play out to its fulfillment. Where do we see this? Where do we see this? Now, tell me that, Angela.
Sin in heaven with Satan's fall, the accusations that he's got against God, and how far God has gone to show his true character.
And he could have crushed him out, but what did God want to do so that eternity would be secure?
He allowed this thing to play out.
He had to let it play out, and someone's going to get hurt.
Not only that, the early writing says the Satan, when he fell down, come back to God. He said, okay, you know, I want to go back, you know, it was my mistake, you know, what I done it. And then God told him, whatever you revealed in the people, this angel has to be come to them. So they need to see what you are against me. So
yes.
He didn't allow him to come back anymore in heaven.
Yeah.
That's the only writing sister, why she said about that.
And we don't know that on the surface because we don't know what's in the heart. We have no idea. But those principles that we have, those concepts that we have of God, I guarantee you, will come out. And we talk about people in power. We think of people who run nations, run banks, run the financial institutions of the whole world. We think of them when we think of power. But my eyes were opened. Because I realized that I could study and study and study and think I have it all down. And in my position of power, that I know this niche of truth. I know this thing about God that nobody else does. Therefore, I have this great power. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. I can take pride in what I know, what I do in my life, and be no better off than any ruler on the face of this earth. That scared the daylights out of me. Because they were blind. Dr. Leslie Harding gave me an illustration one time I have never forgotten. That illustration was of how his mother cooked jam. And when he cooked jam, he used to watch what she would do. She told him to go and get things, wash everything, get it all ready. And he thought it was all immaculate. And so he watched his mother turn up the heat. And as the heat boiled underneath those berries, he noticed some things floating up to the top. And he noticed his mother ladling off some of that stuff, and she turned up the heat a little bit more. She realized that if you turn it up too much, you're going to burn it. You got to turn it up just right to allow the impurities to come to the top. I don't know a thing about it, but I've been told that people that purify gold, they too have to know exactly how hot to get that gold. Turn it up too hot, they lose it. Get the temperature just right, and the impurities come to the top. And they ladle them off. And so, as the story goes, I assume this is true, that one lady who was watching this take place said, "How do you know when the gold is pure?" He says, "As it is pouring, when I can see my reflection in that gold as it is pouring, I know it's pure." And recently, I had some things hit me that all of a sudden my concept of God was challenged. Because the thing that's going to come up in a crisis is your belief about what your father is like. That is what will pop up to the top. And how does it pop up? What are the questions I start asking myself? Well, why is this happening? I go to church. I eat right. I'm conscious about where my money goes. I'm doing all of it right. Why is this happening? I was shocked that my brain would even go there. So the temperature has to go up, and not one of you in this room will escape that. Every one of you will have the temperature go up. I don't know how, I don't know when. And it's not God trying to embarrass anybody. It's God saying, your trust in this concept will not see you through. When God gets through, He wants to know that eternity is secure. And it's not by having cherubim stationed all around the kingdom of God. So if someone just thinks any thought the way the devil thinks, whack! And everybody say, well, that's like another one of those bugs flying into that zapper. Zip! There he went. We all understand. It's okay, God. It's all right. God wants security. God wants internal security. So you know that you can walk in heaven and not one person there is trying to kill me. Not one person there is trying to shame me. Not one person there. Folks, a recent study was released. That study revealed that the abuse in Christian homes, in Seventh-day Adventist homes, the abuse of children, the abuse of mates, is as high or higher in some categories than any non-Christian home there is. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I thought it made a difference. And by the way, as I understand it, in the Adventist homes, it's the women abusing the men. Ernie, right? Right? He's been trying to tell us. Gave you some ammunition.
I need life for somebody today.
Pay me after Sabbath school. Folks, when the devil started, what were his issues? Why didn't God quell that? Why didn't God stamp him out? Why didn't God say, you guys don't know what you're talking about. This guy's going to lead us to absolute hell.
Yes, he showed him even everything what he's going to do.
Absolutely.
He was killing of babies and the war and everything what we see in Ukraine now, what we see. He showed him everything.
That's right.
But in his mind, that's something we don't know how and when, and he didn't want to you know, listen. I was watching Doug Basher movie, like A Boy in Heaven, you know, just like a little boy movie, you know. And it's playing, they have the source, you know, and they're like, and devil, he's come to mirror, he's looking how beautiful he is, how smart he is, you know. Instead to worship the God and said, you make me beautiful, he was proud of himself, he wanted to be bigger than God. Mm-hmm. That's how in his mind, how we don't know. And why he deceived one third of angels, because the angel never heard a lie.
Yes.
He never heard a lie. So he lied to them, that's he deceived one third of angel.
Yeah. See, that's what terrifies me. That I, Rob Shepherd, might be in that place. I can take no pride, no security in my belief system or what I have accomplished. There is no pride. There is nothing there. My only security is understanding my Father. At the beginning, the door is open. And we see heaven open, we see earth open, and we see the demonic world displayed before us in the story of Job. What are the issues? What are the issues that are revealed in that book? knows, Job was never the target. The eyes of that sniper were on the judge. They were on God. How can you bring an accusation? Do you think Job serves you for naught? You don't know his heart. God doesn't know his people. In fact, he was insinuating, if you really knew the heart, you wouldn't have let me go on. Because he knew what was in his heart. God doesn't know the heart. And the only way that God can get us to obey is through our behavior. How God will pay us off, like Ernie paid me off. No, he really didn't. He's going to pay us off. Does Job serve you for not? The target, the one in the crosshairs, was God. And God said, let's see. Took away everything Job had, and Job still didn't curse God. And the devil said, I know how to get him. Let me touch his body. Let me bring him to within an inch of death, and he'll curse you. I know how to do that, and he did. And God said, let it play out. Did God know the heart of Job? What was the testimony? Job said of me that which was right. Well, go through and look at those arguments those other people were making. They seem so logical. I've heard them over and over from religious leaders. I've heard those arguments. And when the devil came to him, you don't know the heart of man, and your way will never work. Folks, this is the origin of survival of the fittest. Survival of the fittest, that the devil says, I know the heart of man. I know that it's totally selfish. I know that it will fold under pressure. And by the way, who is he talking about? He knew his own heart. He knew his own heart. I know what it will do. I know those things that you built in automatically with man, that as soon as his skin is at risk, he will react. He will save himself. Behold, Peter. Not this Peter. Peter. A girl comes up and says, I know you. You're one of those. Your language betrays you. I know who you are. I'm not him. I'm not him. I don't even know him. Well, that dirty blah, 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 blah. And Jesus passes by. You're a zap, Peter. You're dust. Why did you do that to me publicly? What did Jesus do? He looked. And Peter ran and fell in the same place where Jesus fell, wrestling. What is it inside me that caused me to do that? Look at the Peter who is at the temple gate. Jesus is risen. Jesus is God. Shut up, or we'll throw you in prison. Shut up, or we'll beat you. Folks, if you come at me with a needle, I'm going to run. You ain't sticking that sucker in me. And they said, if you don't shut up, we're going to crucify you. Oh, don't crucify me the same way the Lord was. I do not deserve that. Crucify me. with my feet up and my head down. That's the same Peter. What happened? Well, let me give you a little insight. You don't have to worry what you're going to say if you ever come to that place. And God will never put you in that place if you have a false concept of what God is like. But if you're ever put in that place, I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit will be there like He was with Stephen. You think Stephen knew all those things? Holy Spirit was there. Told him what to say. Now I want to show you something. I want you to turn to Acts 24. 24. And for those of you who do not have it, let's go ahead and ask Ron if he will do it. He's the self-appointed or the Ernie appointed. Okay. We'll have you read that. I want you to look very carefully at something. And I'll tell you what, let's start with verse 22, Ron. Listen carefully to this. Here is Paul standing before a ruler. Look what's going on. Watch the dynamics of what's happening. Ron, 22 through... go ahead and read through 27.
Chapter
24, 22. And I'm going to stop you a couple of places in there, but go ahead.
Then Felix, who was well informed about the way, brought the hearing to a close. When Lysias, the commander, arrives, he told him, I will decide your case.
Okay, now look carefully. What did Felix know? He was married to a Jewess. Very familiar with the way. So he was familiar with the Jewish environment. He was very familiar with the way. What was the way? Anybody? Real quick. What was the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. The way was the Christian response to what Jesus had done. And they just gave it the term, the way. So he's very familiar. He has in his brain all of this information. Next one.
So he ordered the officer in charge of Paul to keep him under guard, but to give him some freedom and allow his friends to provide for his needs. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he talked about faith in Christ Jesus.
Now, doesn't this sound wonderful? Sounds great. Paul has an opportunity to witness. Here he has this ruler before him. This ruler who has all this knowledge about Jesus, about all this knowledge about the Jewish life, and he's standing there, and all of a sudden, Paul thinks he has this opportunity to witness to this man. And I want to tell you, this story will reveal my fear, my personal fear, and I'll show you what it is. Go ahead, Ron, if you'll read the next one.
But as Paul went on discussing about goodness, self-control, and the coming day of judgment...
Woo! What is this? About righteousness and self-control. Why in the world is that word thrown in there? Read the rest of that. That's verse 25. Read the rest of that.
As he was talking about these things, Felix was afraid and said, you may leave now. I will call you again when I get the chance.
Okay, I'm going to summon you later. Whoa, stop, stop. Why stop? Look at the next verse. 26.
At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would give him some money.
Do you understand now? Felix. had an agenda. Felix was driven by a certain concept. And he was going to go up there and he's going to put up with whatever Paul could dish out. He didn't want to stir up anybody. He didn't want to violate the Romans. But what was in his heart?
It's money. But he said, now you're going to meddling. So.
Yes. But when Paul began talking about righteousness, and I'm going to come back to that word, self-control, in just a minute. And go ahead and finish that, Ron.
Same time he was hoping that Paul would give him some money, and for this reason he would offer to send for him and talk with him. After 2 years had passed, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix as governor. Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jews, so he left Paul in prison.
So Felix had how much time? 2 years. What did he know? He was exposed to all the truth about what Jesus did, what he was like. 2 years. How long did the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, told Gabriel, go down and tell Daniel, and we heard your prayer, and we're wrestling with the king that he might let the people go. Here is God wrestling with the heart of this king to release the children of Israel and let them go back home. The curtain was drawn aside and we see God in the affairs of man wrestling with him to bring him to a conclusion. Felix had all of that information, but what was conflicting that, what was keeping him from making that decision? What kept him there? It says that he came back and wanted to hear Paul. But what he wanted never left his mind. Never came to it. Never had the blinders taken off of his eyes. His own greed. His own greed blinded him. His own power blinded him to his need. And over again, Paul witnessed. What scares me is I can wrestle with these things over and over and over and be so blind that somehow I think that my status before God is somehow warranted because of what I do, who I am, what I know. It's possible for a human being to be blinded, and it doesn't matter if the blindness is correct theology or greed. Do you hear me? How does this impact you? I can be so blind that the principles of Christ, as He presented them to me, can make me so blind that I could abuse my wife. By the way, she's listening in. She would love to be here, but she can't, the pain and so on. So anyway, she's listening right now. What does this say to you? We can talk about rulers, but what's the message to me? And what is God trying to do? My own experience is this, that I started out with this concept of God, and as I read and I studied, another phase opened up, another insight opened up, another insight opened up. And somewhere along the line, I think, wow, I finally got it. I go in and open it up and say, holy mackerel, almost everything I had, my little house of cards that I built up was all wiped out. And I understand something about God that I didn't know before. In a time of trial, don't worry. God will never embarrass you. God will never allow you to suffer a temptation that will wipe you out. All He wants is to make sure that you understand who He is as your friend. That's what God's about. And you wouldn't have it any other way. If God sat down and told you everything about what love looks like, would you do it? Well, sure we do it. We do it all the time. We do the things that love looks like. But what has it done to our heart? Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. By the way, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. And if you happen to get anything out of it, that's up to you. It's so funny. They did a research because this store, and right now I can't remember if it was Penny's or Walmart, one of the major stores, they were losing so many things. People were just stealing them blind. And so they hired a psychologist to record music. And laid behind the music was the subliminal message, you shall be kind, you shall be honest, you shall not steal, over and over and over. And they figured that when a shopper came in, it would take them about 15 minutes before they left. So every 15 minutes they had that message going over and over and over. Well, they had no idea the impact. Because guess who was there 8 hours a day? The employees. And they heard it over and over, and all of a sudden the manager noticed there was no more lateness. There were no more sick leaves. And all the stealing stopped. It's amazing. So if you just happen to pick up something because of my ramblings, I hope it makes sense to you. Galatians 5. And we could read several parts of it, but I don't want to read the whole thing. I want to move so we can get out on time. Now look at verse 13. Galatians 5 and verse 13. You need to catch this concept, because where we're going to stop is on the word self-control. What is that talking about? What controls this? That's what we're after. That's what I can put my feet on. That's the rock I can stand on and know that it's sure. So, look at what's going on. Galatians 5 and verse 13. This is one of my favorite verses. Go ahead, Ron, please.
As for you, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. But do not let this freedom become an excuse for letting your physical desires control you. Instead, let love make you serve one another.
Okay, look, here's the whole concept. Got it in a nutshell. Let love motivate you. Let it drive you. Let it bring you to the place to where you understand what your motivation is. So go ahead in verse 14.
For the whole law is summed up in one commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Go ahead.
But if you act like wild animals, hurting and harming each other, then watch out, or you will completely destroy one another.
Okay, so violation of the law of freedom will consume you, not other people. It will sear you, not other people. Go ahead, Ron.
Verse 16. What I say is this. Let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature. For what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants. And what the Spirit wants is opposed to what our human nature wants. These two are enemies, and this means that you cannot do what you want to do. If the Spirit leads you, then you are not subject to the law. what human nature does is quite plain. It shows itself in immoral, filthy, and indecent actions, in worship of idols and witchcraft. People become enemies and they fight. They become jealous, angry, and ambitious. They separate into parties and groups. They are envious, get drunk, have orgies, and do other things like these. I warn you now, as I have before, those who do these things will not possess the kingdom of God.
So those kind of things that proceed. And when we looked at the abuse level in Christian homes, we find it as high or more or higher than in the world. Why is that? If I have the concept of God that leads me to judge and condemn and abuse other people because they're not living according to the way I think they ought to live, there's a problem. Now, if you're not... See, if you follow this law that says love looks like this, do this. Love looks like this, do this, do this. That's the law. If you think you're impressing me by following this law, you failed. Now look what he says.
Verse 22. But the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control.
Whoa, wait a minute. What is this? So the Spirit produces things. God is not inside my head with His hand there manipulating and say, do this, do that. If I need to have someone tell me exactly how to love my wife, I'll guarantee you one thing, I don't love her. I didn't have to find the way. I found out the way of being able to love myself, recognize the goodness and the respect that my other people, and all of a sudden, love began to change. And so, when it talks about this self-control, it's the same word that we use for managing a nation. Governing a nation. I am now no longer governed by a law. I am governed by the love that the Spirit has produced inside me. And then I look around and I find, holy mackerel, I didn't realize it. I've been keeping the law all along. The moment you have to define love, it disappears. Therefore, with these principles inside me, I then have self-control. Not where I don't need God. I'm constantly in need of Him. But now I have a sense of control and what controls me. The concept of who my Father is. The concept of that love inside. And I find myself responding out of love, not out of some description. Therefore, God is fulfilling in me. Every nation, national leader, Felix, had all of that inside him. And Paul came back to him daily, 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 for 2 years. And Felix's mind, because of his greed, was so seared over. God says it must play out. You notice something? In the great controversy, God is going to allow this entire panorama to play before them again. And who's going to fall to his knees? Off of whose eyes did the blinders fall? The blinders finally fall off the devil's eyes, and he said, I've been deceptive. God is love. God can be trusted. God does know me. And God is not trying to pay me off to serve Him. And everybody in the entire universe shouts, Hosanna, Hosanna, the devil is converted. This is wonderful. And God says, shh, watch. And the moment the impression leaves their mind, what are the first words out of the devil's mind, out of the devil's mouth? Kill the Creator. His life so seared him that God replayed the whole thing again. And remember, it's not only for the devil. It's for every other fallen person. And our life can become so seared that we never know. And when God tries to reach us, the blinders may fall off. But our prayer then may be, may the rocks fall upon us and hide us from Him who sits on the throne. And the great controversy is over, and eternity is secure, because I am motivated by the love of what my Father is like. He never has to worry that I'm going to hurt another person. Can you serve a God like that? Father in heaven, oh, how we love you. And we know that you love us so much that you will not allow us to go without all the information, everything we need to come to an understanding of who you are. Thank you so much. Guide us, Father. And may our concept of you be so wonderful that when we're given a chance to bear witness to you, that we may be able to tell the truth about who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.